That's right. I know the cues at Sublime are not sublime. Ms. Bell.
Yesterday, Mr. and Mrs. Wood,
just before you go off air discharges, sorry. So the council has proposed a suite of conditions around an air quality management plan. And you've said it basically that consent may or may not be required under the regional council for discharge to air. To what extent or can we even go there in terms of conditions on a notice of requirement in that regard? Because I see this occasionally where a councillor's concerned that there may be effects of a matter that's under a different jurisdiction, but they want to manage it. So I'd like your advice on to what extent can we go there.
I recognise that there's the scope of the issue is challenging because we can't say it's not an issue. Dr. Havelt has his evidence indicated that he would like to see work done, and certainly the council's expert has suggested monitoring to confirm the environment, and obviously there's further work to be done. We also heard from KiwiRail also heard from the community about concerns, particularly with the roof water issue. And so their designation includes conditions relating specifically to the roof elements. We've proposed in the set of conditions that were lodged with the notice of requirement is a dust management for operational. It's acknowledged that the existing ballast approach is potentially going to create a dust nuisance in certain winds unless certain operational requirements are fulfilled. Equally, the modern freight hub has all surfaces covered with impervious surface so they can be driven over as well as the trains can operate beside them. So there's not that traditional big ballast area. So the form of the hub may be different in terms of its design and finished footprint. So the approach we're taking is to put in an operational dust management plan and to leave the air quality issue to the council space.
The regional council
space. The regional council space, beg your pardon, yes. So it's a foot in both camps. But it's recognising that the nuisance aspect of dust from the ballast particularly could be problematic, especially in those first few years before the screening is fully extended. Dr. Havelt has explained to us about how the trees, as well as a visual, also help to manage the dust velocities.
So I understand in terms of the dust, I mean, that's quite common on a TA side of things to deal with dust management as an amenity issue more than anything else. So it's the other particulates that might
And I think the regional council, because of its approach in the one plan, provides the best way to manage those.
Thank you. Please continue.
Thank you. The Woodfields yesterday talked about their concern about the paper road beside their property being used for access. The designation doesn't extend into that space, and there is and that access will not be required. There's ample ability to access from within the site, not through that Maple Street access point. I do note, however, that because of the presence of the Transpower pylon, it's likely Transpower might be using that for their access. And maybe that's, and I'm supposing that's perhaps where some of their concern came from, of equipment that might go in through there.
Is that a matter that KiwiRail might be happy to have a condition on that they're not to access via the paper road?
I think the there are paper roads elsewhere around the site, so maybe it's, my suggestion would be paper road from Maple Street. And another question came up, and apologies, I can't recall who asked the question, about the potential for the impermeable freight hub impacting on the water, that the water bore, adjacent water bore, water supply. Thank you. Sorry. My understanding, having asked Mr. Skelton to dig a little bit deeper, is that the consented bore takes water from about 360 metres deep. And at that depth, it's very unlikely that the impervious surface in the adjacent land would actually be impacting on the volumes. The concern we're wanting to make sure is that we don't contaminate groundwater, and that will be a regional consent matter. So the technical folk tell me that that should not be an issue given the depth of the bore and the proximity of the site. The water's coming from elsewhere. And there was a reference made, and I think it was in the questioning around the legal submissions, about the permitted baseline reference in the technical, in the AEE. Mm. I think I created an issue. My use of permitted baseline was in the sense that a third of the site was zoned for similar or same type activities. It was not the prescriptive assessment of effects relating to the baseline, permitted baseline from a consenting perspective, because it wasn't intended in any way to say that the effects should be ignored. It was putting it in context of the type of effects that were anticipated from the permitted activities of that zone.
Yeah, thank you. And I think the same is true of noise, that arguably the additional traffic on the NIMT could be said to be a permitted baseline, but when it comes to assessing holistically and appropriately the effects of this freight hub, you don't go there.
Yeah. So apologies from me in terms of creating that issue.
That's all right. Thank you. Now they haven't been emailed, have they? Yes, please. Yeah. Yeah. Kath, you just email them to me, thanks. Oh, that'd be very helpful. And if you just give us a moment, there is a procedure I have to follow to get that into my database and appropriately referenced so that.
So just while that's coming through and you're referencing that, just for submitters in particular, so this set we've sent around is an interim, at this point in the hearing, having heard in the discussions we've had, as well as the amendments from the council sent through a week ago, this is QReal's current interim set of amendments to the condition set. The base document, the black text, is Ms. Bell's appendix set of conditions from her evidence. And the red is KiwiRail's current position. So we toyed with doing sort of a table of iterations.
Yeah.
In my submission, that can get very unwieldy. We do acknowledge that if the panel or submitters are looking to compare, for example, with what Ms. Cobblestone suggested on Friday, we'll require a second document next to you. But we wanted to put forward essentially what is the current state, and I'm sure the council team will mark those up.
So the base document of this is what?
Is Ms. Bell's appendix to her evidence that we referenced right at the start of the case.
And the black?
So the red track, there's just one set of color track.
Yeah.
Got it. There's so also just a nifty hand-drawn line. the black hand-drawn line in the definition of freight hub was just literally a mistake we picked up this morning. So it's corrected in yours, never mind. The hard copy set has Is that clear, sir?
That's fine, thank you.
What I'll do is just take you through the changes, if I may, and give you some context as to where they've come from and where further work is still, from our perspective, needed.
Okay, so can I have a hard copy, because it's just taken a little while to come through.
It's just come through online.
Here we are. So can we just refer to this document as KiwiRail Conditions Table V2?
I should also note as well, sir, for the record, that we're grateful to Mr. Lloyd, Council's noise expert, who had a discussion with Dr. Childs yesterday and again last night, and they had sort of informal caucusing, I would say, by Zoom or Teams yesterday. So we're grateful for that and have refined some matters of disagreement in relation to the technical noise conditions. I expect some of the matters not quite there on, and you'll hear from Mr. Lloyd on those matters, but these are the noise conditions. When we get to that, is amendments that Dr. Charles is
all right.
Comfortable
that's with. Very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. And just council, thank Mr. Lloyd for taking the initiative.
So the first change from the set that was tabled with my evidence is the proposed table of conditions, that definitions, and that was advanced helpfully by the council in terms of their recommended set. And what we've tried to do is gather together, the council had identified enabling and construction as different types of works, and to break them down into various categories. Collectively, works So we've included that as a definition and used that term throughout where appropriate. What you'll notice in the definition is we've excluded site investigations. So that does speak to your question, sir, around the ability for the council to have a say in terms of some of the minor excavation and changes that might happen on the site. But the site investigations we've excluded on the basis that they aren't necessarily going to modify the land or the resultant development. They could be just as intrusive as a survey of with cone penetration, just checking on the density of the substrate.
I understand that. But it is extremely useful to actually have a definitions table, whatever that content might be. I think when you get to a condition set of this size, I think having definitions is really useful.
And Commissioner Sweetman asked a question around the use of noise wall, noise barrier, noise buffer. So we've chosen noise mitigation structure and then included those elements that we thought would be in it. So these things can obviously be refined further, but that was trying to get those points identified. And then from the freight hub perspective, there's reference to the freight hub throughout the conditions, and we thought it was important to link it back to the concept plan. So the freight hub being different from the landscape plan, it's a component, but it's a very specific operational aspect of the site, of the project.
Yeah, so there the concept plan is not being used so much in terms of defining location as the sort of activities that would be occurring within the freight hub.
Yeah. And to a point, the layout of those activities and to give a sense of what people could expect from a council perspective and then from the public. Condition one, we have taken out the word subject to final design. As a result of your feedback, we think that the certainty comes from the drawings and the documentation that's provided.
Oh, that's very useful. And and in general, accordance with is an accepted planning methodology.
So it allows that change of, but not the, a fundamental shift in terms of what's being proposed.
Yeah.
I won't pick up on all of those because a lot of these are good thoughts that or suggestions that came from the council's amendments. I'm going to take you down to the set around management plans at 5.
Mm-hmm.
What we've done is we've excluded the road network integration plan from that set. They're not a management plan for the management of the works on within the designation. They're a third-party plan that's going to involve the road controlling authorities, Waka Kotahi, and Kiwi Rail to work out what has to be done beyond the site. And they also, in that sense, certification by the council didn't seem either relevant. So picking up the good processes that have been already carried in from the council's amendments with the objectives certification process, we just felt that that was one plan that needed to be outside that. So through to 6, it's largely what was proposed by the council, and equally coming down to the amendments to the management plans in 9A and 10, we thought it was really helpful to have a process about how amendments, and it's that point that I made about the documents being a living document and needing to be updated and refreshed along the way with each step of significance. Condition 11, there's a whole suite of changes that have come through as a result of suggestions from Ms. Austin, having explored those matters with you earlier in the hearing. So if you jump down, so the idea is that within the 12 months after confirmation, so rather than at least, it sort of gives a more immediacy. The condition 17, what we've included in here is a whole range of the process matters about how the community liaison forum will requirements in terms of how it will update and provide information and opportunities for the council for the community on the input into the draft documents. You'll see in B3 we've added in any regional consent applications and any proposed mitigation measures, and that comes back to the point that that's where the earthworks and the terrestrial ecology and the aquatic ecology and all those elements that
That's very useful.
The community will be interested. So we think we've bolstered that condition. And then picking up also some of the questioning in terms of 18, we've added in an appointment of the community liaison person in consultation with the council, and looking for specifying the skill set or the job description, in a sense, the requirements for that person to be independent and with particular skills in community engagement. Down to 20, just draw your attention to the role of the person in terms of that engagement around those mitigation measures that sit outside the site, so the noise and the landscape and the dust management. So that person is obviously going to have to be involved in that conversation and setting up that conversation with the sensitive receivers and the identified to discuss about those potential mitigations.
Just as a note there in passing, it might be useful to cross-reference to the relevant
management
conditions management plans in there. Just a bit more specificity.
Can I just clarify, is that in respect of 20?
Yes, 20C.
Cool. Thank you.
Yes.
Cool. Thank you very much. Condition 25, again, building in some process matters to give clarity about the kind of media by which the engagement plan will communicate, the communications that will be used. Down to, you'll see that we have parked the mana whenua and in a sense highlighted them as a work in progress, still to be resolved or advanced further.
Just looking at condition 26 and then back up to condition 12, and I see you've altered wording to talk about the commencement of operation of the freight hub. Now, when we were talking to Ms. Austin about this and the length of time that a forum might need to be in place, she had talked about up to 2051, and I don't know if that's necessarily captured with that wording. Commencement of operation might well be deemed to be as soon as it starts operating, 2031 or thereabouts, just something to think about again.
I can see that reading of it. If you see the references to the freight hub, and that goes back to the definition back in the table, so the freight hub is all activities shown in the concept plan. So literally, once that freight hub in the concept plan with its various elements is up and running, so if they just went ahead and just put in the maintenance facility, it hasn't commenced. But I can see why you're suggesting that it'd be clearer.
Having been involved with these types of projects in the past, being clear about exactly what is intended is very important for the community and for the councils as well.
Thank you. I can undo that. You can see over in the group conditions 33 to 34B, we've widened from contamination to site investigation. So we've captured within that, conditions I referred to earlier about the wider range of investigations, so not just limited to contamination, and that there's a requirement in 34A lowercase b, input from mana whenua and developing protocols for any intrusive site investigations. And then 34B, the requirement to report to the council on the outcome of those investigations, particularly in terms of geotechnical.
So my question there would be when?
Good question. No significant changes in respect of conditions until we get down to 45. And what we've done is, in this set of conditions, have differentiated between those level crossings where the safety, the crossing is going to be retained and the safety of that crossing is important to be assessed, and improvements where appropriate undertaken, and then those crossings which are at Roberts Line and Cleveley, where to deliver the project the crossing has to be closed. And so just differentiating between the need for an assessment and the actual action of closing. The road network integration plan, it's largely the same, just looking at better capturing through the wording the works that the integration plan should be considering. The critical one, possibly from my perspective, is drawing your attention to, sorry, here we go with those numberings, 50, lowercase b, 2i. Where we've included, as council had suggested, the minimum requirement for the shed path width, and that is an important improvement. Taking you down to, there's two new conditions relating to road connecting connections and upgrades, 52A, oh sorry, three, 52A, 52B and 52C. Mr. Georgeson suggested that those be included following the questioning from Commissioner Mackinson. And my apologies, I'm probably not technically the right person to ask those questions, but he will be available next week to answer any questions about those.
Thank you. Just reading through very briefly and comparing what is shown there to the Council's version of Condition 81, little d, which I had a conversation with Mr. Georgeson around in terms of whether, in my view, those aspects are important to clarify, you know, that consideration needs to be given to certain named parts of networks such as Maple Street intersection with Railway Road, State Highway 54, Wars Road. That clarity, it's much easier to say, that clarity does not appear to come through in your draft condition set, and I'd be really keen to make sure that that does come through, because our conversation was very much around agreeing it needs to be there, but the location of the condition under the council set was probably not quite the right place.
Thank you for that. In terms of 52C, this is following on from Mr. Skelton pointing out some of the challenges of ensuring that there is a safe connection across Railway Road and the railway line, and that the Council's Commission condition had suggested within 200 metres, and this is really just to acknowledge that that might not be possible, has to be safe, and that might. And so the condition is about looking at an appropriate location.
Might be a case of certified by the Partners of the City Council rather than consultation with.
Okay.
And when?
take you to...
Yeah, 5 W's and an H.
If I can take you to 55A. This was suggestions from both Ms. Rimmer and Ms. Austin after the conversations and questions about improving the opportunity for the community to specifically be involved in the development and manawhenua in the development of the landscape and design plan, and the development of those design principles and outcomes. 56, these are the design framework elements from the council's condition pulled through into the landscape and design plan. They're not the full package. What we've done is basically to try and condense them, but that is the intent, to pull through the appropriate ones and what. And then jumping down to C, 56C, the recognition from Ms. Rimmer that the biodiversity aspect is going to be essential to have an ecologist involved. And also from questions in terms of if the noise mitigation structures, some more specificity about just what those design treatments and the need for the details about how they can be designed to mitigate, or sorry, avoid, remedy, mitigate. Even though it's in red, it lowercase four, details on the drainage patterns were in another condition and just been probably more appropriately located here. So they are, that's not a new one, just a relocated.
Commissioner Sweetman and I are somewhat underwhelmed by the Northeast Industrial Design Guide. And in, to some extent, its sufficiency to produce outputs that we think Ms. Rimmer is aiming at. So either delete that or agree with the council what principles specifically you're referring to so that we can check them. It's really, this design is an order of magnitude different from that. And I think it would be a backward step to hark back to that design guide.
Yeah, that's useful. Thank you. 56A, Ms. Rimmer has taken the suggestions from the council's amendments, but as she discussed with you, she didn't necessarily agree with all of the elements, particularly things like the height of trees, for example. But what she has put in is achievements or the outcomes that, about coverage and about the five-year response, if you like, to the change, and some minimum depths to allow for that differentiation that she pointed out that occurs along, for example, the Sangster barrier. You go from five at one end all the way up to quite a large depth at the other. 56B is an existing condition. I think that's just been relocated. Just going down. 59, construction management. Just again, we've looked at the wording around the burials at the Bunnythorpe Cemetery to avoid impacts. So it's a little bit, yeah, it's lowercase h. The group of 60A through to 60E under network utilities, they again are the conditions that Transpower had asked for. I'm going to touch those even though. And then construction noise and vibration plan, as Ms. Afiang indicated, there's been ongoing dialogue, and so we've carried through those areas that Dr. Charles has suggested are appropriate, having had that dialogue with Mr. Lloyd.
Where are we now?
We're at 71. It's a large, they're in the group of construction noise and vibration management plan conditions. So starting largely at the bottom of page 11. Some small changes in 71. And then a new 71A over the page. So trying to address the night construction activity, and then obviously some more specificity around the criteria that must be complied with in the various plans. And I'm not going to suggest that I can explain those criteria to you or their application. My understanding is that they were taken from Mr. Lloyd's amendments and further refined by Dr. Childs.
Right. So
he will be available to answer those questions.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's fine.
Jumping down to operational lighting design plan. As you'll recall, there was considerable effect, virtual total agreement. There was some minor things, but between the two lighting experts. And the changes have been carried over into the lighting conditions. Operational traffic management plan set from 78 on are largely just some consistency and some tidy up matters, I think, bringing over good points made by the council. Operational noise and vibration, I think, again, that's the recognition of the level of agreement and refinement that's